Greetings, everyone. Welcome to Church at Home. Church at Home is so that you can study the Scriptures, learn the way of God, understand about life, understand about the truth of God, understand about the salvation of God, and most of all, in the days in which we are living, to understand what is happening in our nation today and in the world today, and why these things take place. Why does it seem as though that every time that politicians and religionists seek to do good, it turns out to be evil? Why does that happen? Well, it's because we've become so corrupted. Why is it that when people pray and they think they're turning to God, that their prayers are not answered? Has God gone way off someplace? And if he has, why has he? And if he has, how do we reconnect? And how do we establish ourselves with God? Let's look at the whole nation today as prophesied. Actually, the whole world today is prophesied in Isaiah 59. And I'm sure there's someone out there saying, well, there you go again. You're preaching out of the Old Testament. We want some New Testament things. Well, let me tell you something. The Old Testament is prophesying of our day today. And remember what Paul told Timothy, that you have known the holy writings from a child, which are able through Christ to make you wise unto salvation. And Jesus told the Jews, which we'll examine a little closer in another message, had you believed Moses, you would have believed me. Now let's come to Isaiah 59. This will answer some questions and will show the problems that we're confronted with. Why does everything go wrong? Let's begin in verse 1. They always accuse God. God, why do you do this? God, why do you do that? And someone says, well, God allowed it. God says, I did it. So he explains. People want to know why. Here's God's answer. Verse 1, Isaiah 59. Behold, the Lord's hand is not shortened that it cannot save, nor his ear heavy that it cannot hear. God is there to hear. We know examples of answered prayers, miraculous answered prayers of those who really believe in God the Father and Jesus Christ. Yes, indeed. So what's the problem? Verse 2. But your iniquities have come between you and your God, and your sins, which we have seen, the transgression of the law, which is practicing lawlessness, which is telling God what to do, which is replacing God's way with man's ways. Your sins have hid his face from you that he will not hear. Isn't that something? God says, I'm not going to hear you. He even told Jeremiah in Jeremiah 7, he said, don't offer up any prayers for these people, because since they won't repent, I won't hear you. They have gone too far. And I am going to correct them, says God. That was the message to Jeremiah. Have we gone too far in this nation today? In this world today? Is there any coming back to God? Even for a short time? And what would that really require? Let's see what God says. Why? Why won't he hear? Verse 3, for your hands are defiled with blood. All the murders, all the rapes, all the adultery, all the warring, the killing, the accidents. Your fingers with iniquity. Everything you do is sin. Your lips have spoken lies. Your tongue has muttered perverseness. That's what we see in the world today, don't we? Oh, we have this political clause for this group, this political cause for this group, and we must have diversity and we must have understanding, which is heaping more sin upon us. And nothing seems to work out right. People want to have things right. Well, the government better straighten this out. Well, you better go one step further. The ministers and priests better repent and get back to the Word of God. Then you can start straightening some of these things out, see. None calls for justice. Oh, there are a lot of people saying, we need justice, we need judgment. But they wanted their judgment and their justice, not God's. Nor does anyone plead for truth. No, we have political positions. We have religious positions. No one wants the truth. Because after all, you'd have to change. After all, can you imagine? In Washington, D.C., all of the congressmen and senators and cabinet members and bureaucracies and all of those who head the different departments, if they all took a pledge to always tell the truth. Wow. Wouldn't that be amazing? But they are so used to telling lies that they don't know what the truth is. Same way with religious teachers. That'd be something if a minister stood up and said to his congregation, I've been studying the Bible and we're all sinners. And I've been teaching you the wrong thing for years. Now today we're going to have a sermon on which day is the real Sabbath. When he's done with that, he says, okay, we have shown and we proved from the Bible that the seventh day is the Sabbath of God, part of the Ten Commandments. Jesus kept it, the apostles kept it, the apostle Paul taught Gentiles to keep it. And so therefore, next week, I'm canceling all services on Sunday. And if you want to come and worship God on his Sabbath, I'll be here. Boy, you imagine board of deacons? Boy, let's get a hold of this renegade. He's trying to Judaize us. Huh. What am I going to do? I got all these things planned on every Saturday. Really? None pleads for truth. They trust in vanity and speak lies. Boy, is that not true. All you have to do is just watch the television. They conceive mischief and bring forth iniquity, lies and vanity and evil things that they are producing, calling good evil and evil good. Here's what they do. They hatch adder's eggs. Now, if you hatch an egg of a very poisonous snake, when it's first hatched, it is quite benign. Everything is set up for it to be poisonous. The fangs will grow, the poison sacs will develop. But it's still all there, isn't it? Yes. So you hatch the egg and you say, like they have in South Florida, oh, we love all of these pythons. These are wonderful snakes. And they buy a baby python, newly hatched baby python, and they take it home. And they feed it, and it grows, and it grows, and it grows, and it grows. And it gets 8 feet long, 10 feet long, 12 feet long. I can't have this in my house. I've got to get rid of it. It may come and eat my baby. So they take it out, and they dump it in the Everglades. And now the Everglades is overrun with pythons. Deadly snakes, 20 feet long. Good example. If you hatch something that is evil, it is going to turn out in a way that you never expected. Now people who live along the Everglades could be snatched up by an alligator or crushed and swallowed by a python. fulfilling the scripture which God said concerning people that leave God, evil wild beasts shall consume you. Let's read on here. And weave spider's webs. Sound like a lot of legislation that's coming through Washington, D.C., or the government, wherever you are in the world? Doesn't this sound like the fables and stories that preachers preach from the pulpit? Now notice what happens if you believe it. He who eats their eggs dies. Wages of sin is death. And that which is crushed breaks out into a viper. You try and get rid of it, and 10 more evils come out of that. That's the way the society is today. Notice what God says. God is looking down and judging all nations. His eyes behold everyone everywhere. And he's judging the hearts of men and women. Truth is, you can never escape God. What do you mean by that? Well, I'll give you a parallel. I've used the law of gravity, haven't I? Yes. Can you escape the law of gravity? No way. You can't escape God. All right? Their web shall not become clothing, nor shall they cover themselves with their works. Their works are works of iniquity, and the acts of violence are in their hands. Perfect description of what's going on in this nation and world today, isn't that true? How many killings and beatings and wars and rebellions and abusing of women and children and selling little kids off into sex slavery? You think that's pleasing to God? How many have dedicated their lives to blow themselves up because they have some sort of jihadist insanity? That they're going to serve God by killing. Well, it doesn't work that way. That's what we have, don't we? Verse 7, their feet run to evil. Can hardly wait. They make haste to shed innocent blood. Their thoughts are thoughts of iniquity, wasting and destruction are in their paths. But isn't that what we're seeing on a world scene? Just take a globe. Just take a globe sometime and take the news and spot out where the different things are happening. Typhoons in this part of the world, floods and hurricanes in this part of the world, earthquakes in this part of the world, starvation over here, pestilence over there, crime and violence in the streets in every nation of the world. And God looks down and sees all of this. And people think, oh, God, why is this? Because you've left God. Because you've turned your back on God. Well, I'm a good religious person. I'll never turn my back on God. Really? Have you ever thought about it? Do you do the will of God? Do you obey the voice of God? Do you keep the words of Jesus Christ? Really? Now let's see what happens here. Verse 8. Even though another prophecy in Ezekiel 13 says, they say, peace, peace, and there is no peace. Isn't that what we hear today? How long have they been trying to bring peace between the Palestinians and the Jews? 60 years. How many conferences have they had for it? Every year. How close are they to peace? No closer than the day they began. Because the way of peace, they do not know. Continuing, verse 8. And there is no justice in their paths. They have made crooked paths for themselves. Whoever goes therein shall not know peace. Perfect description, isn't it? Does that describe your town, your city, your county, your state, your country? If it does, because of sin. Then it says you're all like blind men. You don't know what to do. You don't know where to go. You don't know how which end is up. You don't know who's right. You don't know who's wrong. Everybody's burdened down with troubles and sin. Let's come here to Isaiah, the first chapter. God shows there's a way. God shows that there is a way out of it if people would really take it, if they would really believe God and obey the voice of God, then they would understand. And in obeying the voice of God, that means you obey God. You keep his commandments. You keep his laws. And you live your life according to his way, which God said that was the whole purpose of giving the laws, for the well-being of the children of Israel. And they were to teach all the rest of the world God's way, for the well-being of the world. Have we failed? Without a doubt. Look at the world. Now come here to Isaiah, the first chapter. Notice what God tells Isaiah. Now granted, this was for the children of Israel, but you see, you need to understand. So if you want to understand, you go to our website, cbcg.org, and we have a right online a book that you can download. It's quite a thick book, so you have to take it parts at a time. It's entitled Judah Scepter, Joseph Birthright. And that will show you the biblical and historical truths concerning who the modern end time children of Israel are today, and that is the United States and Britain, plus the democracies of Northwestern Europe and South Africa, Australia, and New Zealand. So when I read these scriptures, this applies today. Don't ever think that just because it is in the Old Testament that it doesn't apply. Because, oh, I'm a New Testament Christian. Well, you can't be a New Testament Christian unless you believe the law and the prophets as well. Now notice what it says here. Isaiah 1 and verse 2, Hear, O heavens. And Jesus said, Heaven and earth shall pass away, but my word shall never pass away. Are the heavens still here? Is the earth still here? Yes. Well, then listen up. Hear, O heavens, and give ear, O earth, the Lord has spoken. I have reared and brought up children, but they have rebelled against me, because they reject the laws and commandments of God. Now he says, consider this, verse 3. Animals are not so stupid as to do that. He says, verse 3, the ox knows his owner and the donkey his master's crib, but Israel does not know me, though they profess. They don't know God. My people do not understand. And isn't that what we see today? People do not understand. They wonder what's going on. They feel kind of oppressed on every side because of the difficulties that are confronting us as a people. Don't know what to do, don't know where to go, don't know who to talk to. That's why church at home. Because you can open your Bible and you can read it and you can talk to God. Because at home, you have a quiet, private place and you can go pray to God. And you can pour out your heart to him. You can ask him to help you. You can ask him to lead you to repentance, even though the nation is going to hell in a handbasket. So he says, verse 4, Ah, sinful nation, a people burdened with iniquity, a seed of evildoers, children who have dealt corruptly. They have forsaken the Lord. They have provoked the Holy Ones of Israel. They have gone away backward. And so bad have they gone away. So far have they left God that God asked the question. Verse 5. Why should you be stricken anymore? If you think it's bad now, it's going to get worse. Is that what you want? Yet he says, you will revolt more and more. The whole head is sick. The whole heart is faint. describing our entire nation. We have no love, we have no character, we have no backbone. We are given to sin and iniquity overflowing. Yet we profess God. And as he says in another place, that Israel has made me to serve with their sins. That's what we've done. That's what God says. Now notice verse 6. From the sole of the foot even to the top of the head, there's no soundness in it, only wounds and bruises and putrefying sores. They have not been closed, nor bound up, nor smoothed with ointment. Your country is desolate, and that's happening. Your cities are burned. That has happened before and will happen again. Strangers devour your land right in your very presence. Ever heard of illegal immigration? Ever heard of ownership of land by foreigners, buildings and banks and manufacturing companies? And it is wasted, is overthrown by strangers. Now verse 9. Except the Lord of hosts had left us a very small remnant. So there is a very small remnant of people who love God and are keeping his commandments and are seeking to do what is right. And the truth is, because of them, this nation has not yet totally fallen apart. But unless there is repentance by more people, it will happen. And it will happen with such a suddenness and with such a destructive power that it will be almost unbelievable. And we will be in chaos overnight because we've left God. Let's read on. Except the Lord of hosts had left us a very small remnant, we would have been as Sodom, we would have become like Gomorrah. How many people survived that? Lot and his two daughters. That was it. Even his own sons wouldn't believe him and were burned up in the Holocaust. Is that going to happen to us? So here's what God says. Hear the word of the Lord, rulers of Sodom, and give ear to the law of our God, people of Gomorrah. Then he talks about all of the things that they did back then with their sacrifices and their ritual. Well, what do we have today? Oh, we have church services. We have our what we would call our spiritual sacrifices and things like this. We worship on the wrong day and we claim it's the right. We come to God and say he's done away with his law, and yet we come and we worship him. Nonsense. That's total insanity. Do you understand that? And you understand that these things are not sins in isolation. They affect the whole nation. They affect the whole world. So God says, to what purpose is the multitude of your sacrifices to me? God was full of them. Verse 12, when you come to appear before me, who has required this at your hand to trample my courts? So God says, bring no more vain sacrifices, incense is an abomination to me. New moon and Sabbath, that is their new moons and their Sabbaths, which is Sunday. The calling of assembly, I cannot endure iniquity along with the solemn assembly. Your new moons, your appointed feast, my soul hates. And yet everyone thinks they're all lovely. They are a trouble to me. I am weary to bear them. When you spread forth your hands, God says, the time is coming. I will hide my eyes from you. Yea, when you make many prayers, I will not hear, for your hands are full of blood. So here's what God says to do. There can be a change, and it must begin with you. And it must begin with everyone that hears and understands what they're hearing. Verse 17, learn to do good, seek judgment, reprove the oppressor, judge the orphan, plead for the widow, Come now, let us reason together, says the Lord. God says, come to me. Though your sins are as scarlet, they shall be white as snow. Though they are red like crimson, they shall be white like wool, if you are willing and obedient. You should eat the good of the land. God is merciful, God is kind, God is just, and he wants repentance. Will you repent? Now we'll talk about repentance in other messages so you know what repentance is. Repentance is just not saying, oh, I'm sorry. That may be a start. It's a total stop sinning and turn around and change and start loving and obeying God. Now notice, if you are willing and obedient, you shall eat the good of the land. But if you refuse and rebel, you shall be devoured with the sword, for the mouth of the Lord has spoken it. Are you going to go against the word of God? Now, some people may say, whoa, boy, all you bring are heavy messages. Well, we're dealing in desperate times. We're down to the last nubbins of what we can do to change before the severe judgment of God comes upon us. What should I preach to you? Nice, smooth, wonderful little stories of success of men when they're total failures because they've left God. No, these things are necessary. These things are needful. This is the word of God. And he commands us to cry aloud and spare not. So I hope that these messages will help you. And if you want further in-depth studies, go to our website of Christian Biblical Church of God, cbcg.org, Restoring Original Christianity for Today. And we have many more sermons and things that you can download there. We also have a lot of articles. Look at the listing and index of articles that we have on Church at Home. So this is Fred Coulter saying thank you for inviting me into your home. So until next time, so long, everyone.